What's up, guys? Welcome to another episode of Beyond the Gym Floor. Really interesting episode today. So we're talking about scaling and the different pathways you can take as a personal trainer in your business, what directions you can take once things are going pretty well, usually after you've clocked it on the face-to-face front. We talk about adding trainers, we talk about going online, we talk about opening a facility, and the different ways you can go about that. We also talk about the potential impact of AI and the new technology that's just come out called Sora, which is a video creator, which sounds like it's going to be made to the public, available to the public in the next six-ish months, where you'll be able to create prompt-based video and whether or not that'll actually affect us and our industry. Don't forget to go check out stcfit.com for our free resources. The Value Compass is up there right now. So a full module from our workshop intensive here in Melbourne last year. Also on there, all the information about Standout PT and our web services, social media, anything that you need within your business. One-stop shop. So go have an explore. And lastly, before we start the episode, if you haven't fast-forwarded this, please hit subscribe. We are at 993 subscribers and we need 7 more to hit the 1,000. So hit subscribe, send it to your mum, tell her to subscribe as well. I don't know if your dog's got a Spotify account, but get him to subscribe too so we can hit the 1,000. Enjoy the episode and we'll see you again next week. I've been doing a lot of calls the last couple of weeks.
Yeah.
For Learn people. Check your DMs if you entered the competition and you haven't heard from me. And I always am very quick to change my screen name because it comes up as STC Fit because it's the account.
Yeah.
I'm very quick to get it to Ben because I've had instances in the past when they don't
know which
one. I know you're that guy, but I don't know whose name is which.
Which one are you?
So, yeah, I've had it before.
Yeah.
Something that I've tried to overcome.
Yeah.
Cheers.
You can call me Ben if you want. It's fine.
Yeah, it's not an insult.
Nah, not at all. Look at us with our ghetto spoons, stirring our coffee with our fingers. Yeah, so I have that much shit coming in the mail that I get messages saying things are coming, and I don't actually know what it is.
Yeah,
yeah,
that's sick.
Yeah, it's good because I'm like, oh, what
could what be today?
What did I buy? Yeah, or it's like registered mail serving me for something I did. You're being served. Someone is suing you.
Yeah, actually. Would you buy a product that you didn't know what you were going to get?
Oh, elaborate.
So,
give me an example.
Loz and I are in discussions about potentially having a mystery box. There'll be couple of items.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then just some variables based on supplies, what we can get, and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, whatever's left over.
And when I first spoke to Loz about it, I was just like, I would never buy that.
I would.
So I was like, I'm going to talk to someone who's buys more shit than me.
Yeah, yeah, I would.
Because so LSKD do the mystery.
Yeah, so does Culture Kings, Frontrunner do as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I think I would buy it if I liked the brand, if I trusted the brand that I was buying it from.
Yeah.
If I bought something from Frontrunner, which I own everything anyway, so I ain't getting no mystery box because I've got them all.
Yeah.
But if I was to get I'd be like, oh, that'd be worth it.
Yeah, it's so interesting.
Yeah. Because it's I like the brand.
Yeah.
And I'm happy with whatever I get from there usually.
Yeah.
I haven't had a bad experience. So I'm like, well, mystery box.
Nothing could be bad, right?
Yeah. And it's fun.
It's fun.
Mystery box is fun.
Yeah. Yeah. You didn't get excited about my pineapples on the weekend. I was upset about it.
Yeah, someone already commented.
You were busy doing the babysitting thing.
I was busy. I was stressed leading up to it and stressed during it.
Yeah, yeah. Bro, I've officially become... Actually, what's your average screen time?
Oh, 4 or 5 hours? Yeah, yeah, yeah. How do you check it? It'll be high.
I think it's in settings.
Screen time.
Yeah, so I've pulled mine from about 4.5 down to 2.
Oh, so mine's 4 hours and 25. So mine,
that's
I'm
pretty
not,
good, I know, because I know you watch YouTube on it. That's pretty good.
I was just about to say, the caveat to me, mine is that and sometimes, and obviously Spotify's on when I'm training.
Yeah, it doesn't read if the screen's
okay. Oh, that's all right then. Yeah. Okay. Well, that's pretty
sad. I believe.
Then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, it mustn't because I play Spotify overnight all night quite often.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It's funny. I use my Delta Outlook. Waves. I use my Outlook the most.
Jason.
It's like as soon as an email comes in, delete it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I have to. I just can't have it there.
Yeah.
It has to be deleted.
I've got an email to you, so.
Cool.
I'm the fucking worst with emails. How's it feel? I hate them. I hate them.
I don't mind email.
I hate them.
What don't you like? You don't like emails? You don't like phone calls? How do you like to be contacted, mate?
Just use the social media apps. Like a grown up.
Use the social. Contact me on Instagram, Nana.
Like a grown up.
Mom, Dad, Instagram, please.
Yeah. Yeah. Legit. We have like, fuck, I'm in like 7 chats with my dad.
I tell you what, Messenger's taken over as like the communication of like,
yeah,
family.
Yeah, it's...
And it used to be text message and calling, like now, and yeah, then now it's just Messenger. Like, yeah, well, no, like I'm just using my phone. My brother...
It's better for groups and shit.
My brothers, yeah, use it.
Yeah.
Like, they'll contact me via Messenger, my mum.
I feel like we've taken a... I was thinking this the other day. We've taken a step, like... Remember when, like, Facebook, we used to call it Whingebook, and, like, Facebook was, like, the place you go to fight, and we used to say, like, oh, Instagram's better, because it was, like, supportive, and there's less bullshit on there, blah, blah, blah. I've opened a few, particularly through the F1 season, like return. I've opened a few like comment sections.
Yeah.
And I'm just like, oh, it's fucking toxic as in here now.
I reckon anywhere where there's a comment section now, because like YouTube's like that.
Yeah, I've heard YouTube's people the just, worst because it's not, you yeah, don't have a profile.
Yeah, people just go to just complain.
Yeah, and but like the percentage of people that actually post on YouTube, there's no blowback.
Yeah.
Because it's like, at least I can get to your page on Instagram and find out who you are.
Well, to be fair, there's a lot of... you can make, how many accounts can you make on your Instagram? True. And yeah, it's like, where someone like trolls you and then you go and there's like a picture of a cat and zero posts.
Yeah.
It's like, fuck off, man.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, it's I like, always wonder if I know them.
This is the burner point. Account.
Whether it's just like someone I know that's trolling.
Yeah, just for fun or whatever. Yeah. Just to wind you up.
Yeah.
Maybe it's me.
Maybe.
I wouldn't put a cat as my picture. Nah. I can't even be bothered when people do comment.
Yeah. Yeah. We don't get much, though.
Nah.
Not a lot of hate. The last one we got was like, your production is too good for how many views you get.
Yeah.
It's like, I don't know how to feel about that.
Yeah.
Like, Tam's awesome at it.
Yeah. I remember someone tried to give some motivational speech back in the day, like, no, right now, no one's watching.
Keep going. Shit.
Keep going. Yeah. I was like, cool, man, thank you.
Yeah, just share it, you fuck.
Yeah. It's like being shredded with and saying you've got shit calves. Timer. Just got to get a set of calves. I'll take that to my fucking grave, I swear.
Hey, I complimented them this morning before I heard that story.
No, but this was, maybe that's why I'm so conscious of my calves, is because...
That fucking guy.
That fucking guy in the change room at Good Life Point Cook.
Yeah.
Fucker. Give me body dysmorphia for the rest of my life.
I want to talk about, is it Sora? The video platform? The new one?
The AI one.
Yeah.
Is it an engine or an AI or?
Yeah. ChatGPT for video. Whatever.
Did you know, so the captions app that we were using, you know, now you can just like talk into a generic sentence to it. So all keywords. And then you just type what you want and it'll do it for you.
Mm.
And you just have to film a video of yourself and then it'll just do the work.
Yeah. Yeah. I was going to play with that, actually. I've seen a few ads about it.
Was it you and I, were we having the discussion of like, how do you know it's you now?
No, but let's have it.
So what if someone, so what if like.
That's why I'm here.
So what if I, so let's say. Yo, our relationship ends sourly.
Yeah.
And I'm vengeant.
Yeah.
And I want to fucking totally bomb this company.
Yeah.
I make this video of you.
Yeah.
Like, ragging on, like, the most sensitive topics
in
society.
Yep.
To get you cancelled.
Yep.
But it's not you.
Yeah.
How do you know?
Oh, yeah. We started talking about it at lunch last week. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because Michael said it was on the blockchain. You would have to
be able to stamp it, but it's too late.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's it. It's like there's people aren't going to care or they're not going to go further enough to... Because no one cares when the person, like, their name gets cleared.
They're not going to go and verify it.
No. Well, your name's already been rubbed through the mud, though. So, there's a percentage of people where they're just like, ah, Tim's a piece of shit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't matter.
Yeah. How many, like, athletes, actors, fucking whatever that have been cleared that are still got the reputation or whatever? Yeah.
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 Yeah. So, that's where it's like... I mean, no one's coming for me, I hope. But that's like, hard. Yeah, well, yeah. Or what if they make a video and it's not you.
Yeah.
And then they ransom.
Yeah.
So they're like, this is going.
So apparently that's a real big thing.
Yeah.
There's
I had a friend of mine, his mate, someone hacked his webcam and said like,
yeah,
you know, they've got video of him fucking jacking off and shit.
Yeah.
And he's just like, sweet, go for it.
Yeah. Have fun with that.
He's like,
doesn't affect my career.
Yeah. he was like, yo, props to you, man. You want to put that on the internet? No one's going to watch it.
That's gold. Yeah. Apparently there's, South America. It's apparently really popular to like trap ransom.
Yeah.
Men. Apparently there's heaps of like youth suicides and stuff connected to it where like they've been caught out and they're like, I've saved that video. It's going to go to your school and your parents.
Well, they can screen record. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like if you're doing like they happened on, Black Mirror.
Yeah.
Remember that episode?
Yeah.
That one was obviously warranted.
Yeah.
You know, cause it was like kiddie porn shit.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's messed up.
Yeah. So basically if you haven't heard Sora, it's worth, we won't put it in the link, but if you search it, what's that guy's name?
Marques Brownlee.
That's him.
MKBHD.
He's unreal.
Yeah.
His videos are the best.
He's like one of the top YouTubers, right?
Yeah.
Arguably up there.
Yeah.
Especially in tech.
Yeah.
Yeah. His review of the Apple glasses and all that are really good as well. But, so basically this Sora is a prompt-based video creator.
Mm.
So you can just type in, show a athletic male who's 5'8 doing a deadlift in a dungeon-looking gym, and it'll create it. And then you might have to give it a little bit more feedback, like,
do you reckon
give him more muscle, make the barbell heavier.
That's going to kill, like, those, like, story blocks and shit.
Yeah. Yeah, so B-roll was one of the things he mentions, just like B-roll's done. Like you can, it'll be phenomenal for B-roll because it's, at the moment, it's still a little bit. So when you watch the video, it shows this one. I don't know if you've seen it, Will Smith eating pasta.
Yeah.
Fucking hell, man.
Yeah,
it's so
good.
Funny.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And then to what it is now.
Yeah.
And there's just like a few things like the reflection doesn't work and it's really bad at hands.
Right.
So there's one, they're like in the background clapping and their hands are like just fucking, doing weird isn't shit.
Take my strong hand.
Yeah. And I think there's one that's like wolf puppies that just like spawn from themselves and just duplicate on this page just super randomly. Right. So there's still a few like bugs and stuff in it, but once you prompt it well, same as ChatGPT, if you can prompt it well, I think... Mm. You'll be able to create some pretty cool... And you made the comment, like, if you're basing your success right now on your appearance...
You're in trouble.
You're done.
In a couple of years, yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That Hermione Granger thing that I sent.
Yeah.
Where, like, as a bodybuilder. That's fucking hilarious, man. Yeah.
Absolutely.
But it's like, that's going to become normal content, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's terrifying.
Yeah. I wonder if it'd work now. I wonder if, like, we just switched.
There's definitely pushback on it.
Yeah.
Yeah, there's pushback until there's not, though.
I follow a lot of design pages, interior design, cars, whatever, on Instagram. And every time a page posts that, everyone's like, fuck off with that.
Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
So,
is that designers, though? Like, I wonder...
Yeah, but they're threatened.
Even just, like, car pages.
Yeah, so I wonder, right? So, say I want to put a post together about, like, the deadlift setup. Instead of going to the gym...
Yeah,
film. It's loud, it's whatever. Yeah. It's like, I can just say, hey, show me the first part of a deadlift or whatever. Mm. And I can get it to create that. And then I can talk about it. And I can do my dual screen thing and I have the video there of it.
Yeah.
Or I do a carousel and the background is the thing very specific that I'm talking about without me having to go to Canva and build it and create it or film it or get a photo or whatever.
Mm.
And then it's like people use what's the B-roll equivalent of pictures? Stock. Mm. People use stock images all the time. For websites and all that kind of shit. Can you use stock images on Instagram that are curated to be specifically about the topic you want to talk about?
Mm.
and then you lay your own text and shit on it. So it's an Instagram post. Does someone look at it and go, "Ew, AI," or they go, "This is directly connected to what the topic that they're talking about?" It's weird.
Yeah. I think it depends on how the picture looks.
Yeah.
How the image looks. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the game that everyone puts on their TikToks to keep your attention? Roblox?
There's a few of them. There's like Minecraft. There's Grand Theft Auto where they're driving down the long ramp.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What is it?
So they show you talking.
Yeah.
But because we're screen. Like need constant stimulation.
Yeah.
They put a second video on it that's like a game.
Oh.
So it's like a marble tracking or it's a Grand Theft Auto track or something. So you're like, oh, movement, wow.
So you stay
So you stay on the screen and listen to the message.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Even they've done it for a while, like they'll take Reddit posts and they'll get a computer-generated voice to read it out line by line.
Yeah.
So people stay engaged instead of just being a text post.
Yeah.
Shit, like...
Yeah. You've got an idea.
Yeah, there's heaps. So many.
Yeah. We can do that for our own content.
Yes. Yes, we can.
Love that.
Yeah.
I'm steal it.
So we could theoretically...
Heaps of workouts. We got heaps of video of us just working out. Then we could just put whatever we're actually going to talk about over the top of it.
Yeah.
Then we don't have to take tripods to the gym and get...
So next week on the socials for this clip, you're watching the clip of us announcing the fact that we're going to put workout clips under our reels and just test it and see how it goes.
I think Adam's done a few.
Yeah, he does it a lot. Yeah. So let's do that. Let's do the podcast on the top and then just like a training set down the bottom. Because I don't think it even needs... It doesn't need to be
high... Just like, fuck
my life. It doesn't even need to be a like well-cut fucking... No, just like it'd be one of us doing a set.
Yeah, like I have... Fucking heaps of workouts just from this week.
Yeah. All right, we're going to try it, Tim. How do you feel about that?
Well, it would mean I don't have to cut up the video, so that's fine with me.
Yeah.
It'd just be a straight clip of talking, a straight clip of working out.
Yeah. Still need to cut some of the videos because I talk slow.
Yeah.
That's one.
Speed them up.
This week, like captured from the programming workshop, I put a note like, this is going to need some work, bro. This is like a lot of pauses and like I was really thinking about what I was saying.
Yeah.
It's like, this is not engaging, but I trust you.
Yeah, the ones that I send you guys are...
Raw.
Just taken out.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're raw.
Yeah.
You expect him to put his little seasoning on the top.
Salt bay.
That's it.
Salt bay.
Yeah.
I think there'll be a lot of uses for us.
Mm. Well, it's unavoidable that it's coming.
Yeah.
So now you just have to get on board and work out how you're going to use it. Like I got a mate who works for Google. And we talk about a lot of stuff because I'm just fascinated about Google as a company and then just like he's interested in his line of work because he's my friend. And then we have a lot of discussions about it because they've got their own AI platform. I can't remember the name of it. And so we were like, well, what's going to happen with, you know, most of the jobs? If you're an analyst, if you're this, if you're that.
Yeah.
And then he was saying, like, remember that when the age of, like, you know, industrialism came and then they started to use machines and stuff, like, you know, there was less people, less hands-on people, and people still got jobs and they still utilized all that stuff. So he's like, he goes, now to stay ahead, like, you just need to start to think about, and, like, we need to start thinking about as companies, like, how can we best utilize this stuff to stay ahead and stay in? Yeah,
stay relevant.
Stay relevant, yeah. Yeah, so I was like, yeah, that's fair, you know.
Yeah.
Still think... If you're, you know, how do I put this nicely? Like, if you're on the front line, I still think you're going to get affected. That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah.
And he was like, well, nah, because there'll be a job created for that person. I'm like, eh.
Yeah. It's,
potentially, but not everyone.
It's like the electric truck idea, the self-driving truck idea from like last year or the year before or whatever. It was like, oh, so what happens to all the truck drivers? Like, will they become the mechanics for the...
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Or the techs or... Because it's hard. You create...
But then they already have mechanics.
Yeah. And it's like when you're 60 or say you're like 50 years old, 45, 50 years old, and you're not my dad because he changed career at that time. You've been doing the same thing since you're 18.
Yeah.
And then it's just like your industry doesn't exist anymore.
Yeah, or your position in this industry is no longer required. Yeah, and
it's like, cool, so the new job is developing technology. So it's like, there's a new job that was created to replace yours, but you don't have the skill set.
To go do the other job.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
So that's where it becomes a little bit squirrely.
Yeah, yeah. Speaking of jobs, did you see that? So I think it's somewhere in like Eastern Europe, be one of the cool countries like Norway or
the West Sweden.
Yeah, somewhere there. Yeah. So they trialed the 4-day work week thing.
Yeah, yeah, it's been going for a while.
Yeah, so the productivity is equal.
Yeah,
is equal or more than the 5-day work week.
Yeah,
super interesting, eh?
Yeah,
like I wonder. The only place that I would be interested to know whether it still has the same effect is at school.
Mm.
Like, would the kids learn more at 4 days than five?
So, without like...
And then is school made 5 days because people work 5 days?
Yeah. Well, that's the argument, right? It's like, that's why you're in rows, training you to go into the industrial complex.
Yeah. And who's going to look after them if we're working 5 days a week too, right?
Yeah. That's like, so, it's a lot of 14-year-olds
who don't have to go to school Friday and they're just fucking...
Yeah.
Wreaking havoc in the neighborhood, right?
Yeah.
Like, imagine around here, there'd be rat bags everywhere, like that day that there's no school.
So, because we did the home birth, I'm now being exposed to, like, this is a different world, right?
Yeah.
So, homeschooling is, like, becoming more and more popular.
Yeah, I've got a friend of mine, he's got three kids that do it.
Yeah. So, there's one page that I follow that I'm sort of paying attention to, because I'm curious about it. I'm not, like, going to do it, but I'm curious what the trade-offs are. Because the old thing used to be, like, you're going to be weird, right? Because you don't hang out with your peers.
Yeah.
But, so, my barber, shout out again, his kid does, like, 3 or 4 extracurricular activities a week.
Hmm.
So, but that are in groups.
Yeah.
So, they go and socialize and that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But they reckon it's, like, 3 hours a day.
Of school?
Yeah.
Fuck.
Yeah.
What do you do for the rest of it?
Whatever you want.
No, like, sorry.
Yeah.
I totally realize that school is there to look after the kid at the same time, right?
Yeah.
So, you've got to be quite available.
Yeah. So, it would be a situation where it's like, yeah, like whoever is the parent is also the teacher is also the whatever. Like, the one example I saw is like this girl, when she started high school, was like, I used to have a bet with myself to finish school before the school bus came.
Yeah.
So, she used to finish school at 8:30 a.m. That was her goal. So, she'd get up early, do all of her theory work, and then have it done to watch the kids go and get on the bus, because it was like a flex for her. I was like, pretty gangster.
Yeah.
But yeah, like they do heaps of stuff. Like, so she was talking about, like, instead of learning, the way she learnt money was she paid for everything in her life from when she was like 10.
Yeah.
So, it's like, you want new clothes, you pay for them. Or if you want this, you...
How do you get the money?
So, your parents obviously give you the money that they would have spent on your shit anyway.
Oh, so they give you the money and you go buy it.
But it goes in your bank account.
Yeah.
You have to pay for it. You have to manage it. You have to budget.
That's a great way of learning.
All that kind of shit. It's cool. Yeah. And then, so he was saying, so my barber's little one's 8, I think. And he was explaining, like, the difference between what he does. He's like, if I cut hair, I get paid. If I don't cut hair, I don't get paid.
Mm.
Whereas if I wrote a book about cutting hair, then I don't have to write that book again. It just gets...
Yeah, multiple
if
people.
If it gets sold. Yeah. So, teaching like structures and stuff like that.
Ways to... Yeah, I try and do that with my niece and nephew. Like, because they obviously becoming conscious of money.
Yeah.
And they want stuff. So, it's totally normal to be like, hey, you do these jobs and you get paid for it.
Yeah.
But I didn't want to just drill in the fact that they have to work for the money.
Yeah.
So, I was like, if you write me a story, I'll give you money.
Yeah.
So, my nephew wrote me this, like, whatever he could at the time.
Yeah.
About Auntie Steph and Uncle Jason. And then my niece, I was like, if you... Because she does dancing. So, I was like, you put together a dance.
Yeah.
And you show...
Yeah.
Uncle and Auntie. I was like, I'll give you money for that too.
Yeah.
Because it just show, like, I'm just trying to...
Other ways.
Show them other ways of, like...
Yeah.
You know, you can have a talent and lean into it. Not just, like, I'll... pick up dog shit and fucking pull the weeds out.
Yeah, and do the dishes.
Yeah, because then sometimes I have that fear that they, you know, once you get that first job working at Coles...
Yeah, well, you're trained for time for money, right?
Yeah, and then you're like, well, I'll just work at Coles and not go to school.
Yeah.
And then...
Yeah.
I am a big believer of that compounding effect. I mean, like, you can get away with it. You can... like, compounding effects on anything. So, you don't have to finish school to make it, of course.
Yeah.
But it's like... I think if you can teach someone to dedicate themselves to something for a period of time that has a compounding effect,
yeah.
Rather than chasing immediate gratification, like that's going to be a good skill to learn even when you're younger, right?
Yeah.
Like even the book example, it's like the writing of the book is going to take time.
Yeah.
You know, the perfecting of the book to get 100 people to buy it, 1,000 people to buy it is going to take time.
And there's no immediate reward.
And you're not going to get 100 people buying it day one, like for some people.
Yeah.
So teaching them those skills are valuable. And even if you're a business owner now, learning those skills is a key characteristic to becoming successful and just having longevity.
So the name of the episode is How to Scale Your PT Business.
Yeah.
It's a great segue. Well done.
Love that. You're welcome.
So,
quick break in the episode, guys. I just want to ask you one question. Are you running a business or are you working a job? Running a business means thinking like a business owner, having systems that do all the grindy work for you, a service that's guaranteed to get your clients results, social media and referrals that are driving business to you, and getting leads that you always close. If instead you feel like you're lost, you're stuck, you're at the mercy of your clients, you're just working another job. If that's you, you need to check out Standout PT. It's our signature education program, a 26-week online course designed to take you from working a job to actually running a business. The average coach that goes through Standout PT and completes all the modules gets a 300% increase in revenue inside their business. We have weekly workshops, weekly Q&As, and over 30 units for you to go through, all with text and video to make sure you're totally covered for everything you need in your business. Just head to stcfit.com, navigate to the Standout PT page, and book yourself a free, no obligation discovery call and see if Standout PT is right for you. Back to the show.
I think before we go in, like to continue this, but to remind people that that's where we are going, even though I said it in the intro that I haven't recorded yet, inception things. Looking and paying attention to these new technology developments and stuff, I think is really important. It's just, I find it challenging. I don't know about you, of like, so like ChatGPT, for example. It's like went all in, like this is going to fucking revolutionize everything. And then at the end of the day, I was like, it kind of helps with some prompts. Like that's I use it for. I think in a different industry, and honestly, like most personal trainers coming out of Cert 4, the programs that ChatGPT writes probably better than what you learnt in Cert 4.
I haven't done that yet, you know.
Yeah, I did a handful of nutrition plans.
Oh, yeah.
Gave it macros and calories, and it was, and was just, like, you got the meal plan, was like, I don't want that for breakfast. It was fucking phenomenal, man.
Yeah.
Really, really good. You just don't have, people want coaching, not
things
on a page, right?
Yeah, I wonder, sorry, I won't ask that question. It's going to go.
You can.
Like, I wonder how long is it going to take as a society until we ever don't need that personal connection anymore.
Yeah. And can, like,
is that when we put the goggles on?
Well, the argument is, the question really is, when can AI do it?
Yeah. So there's going to be a period though where we still, like, human connection is still going to be a desirable, like you and I as people are still going to desire human connection because we grew up with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. The way we made friends and fostered relationships and all of that is like,
you know, that as online coaches though.
Yeah. There's a guy who goes to the gym and needs to see people who go crazy.
Yeah, but I mean... Yeah.
There's going to be a generation that don't need it.
Yeah.
And how long until the robots can just tell us what to do and we'll do
it. Yeah, I have a lot of internet-only friends.
Yeah.
And it's like, if they become not real people, get squirrely.
Yeah, but how long until that happens though? There's going to be people... That's what I'm trying to say though.
And even think about this, right? So, say like we've had a rough week or whatever... I don't want to message my friend and be like, hey, things are hard.
Yeah.
But if there's a robot that I can be like, hey, this is really hard. And it's like, totally get it. That's really normal. Lots of people go through this. Here's a couple of suggestions. It's like, you don't burden your friend. Is it less awkward to ask? Like, there's already...
Would you ask the robot that?
I don't know.
Oh, I thought you meant like...
I haven't.
Yeah, I thought you meant like...
I'll still call you. It's all right.
No, don't burden me with that anxiety.
But
talk to the robot.
Yeah, it's like there's already, I think Better Health do some of it, and like, then a person comes in.
Like empathetic AI.
And like to find out what you need to get you to the right person. So it's like, well, how long does that it's not a person anymore?
Yeah.
It's just trained.
But you know that it's not a person?
You would.
Yeah.
But I does it matter?
Well, that's what I'm... So, yeah, I'm... There will be a time when it doesn't, but I feel like you and I will... It'll always matter.
Yeah.
Does it make sense?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. But I don't know. Yeah. I think there's certain circumstances where...
Unless it tells you something really awesome to go and do. Something like, oh, just... I'm upset because my calves are small. And then they're like, have you tried this?
Yeah.
And you do it.
Yeah.
And you get bigger
and that stuff. So that's where I was like with the nutrition thing. It's like, already can write a great meal plan.
Mm.
Then can it give you, can you teach the reach model to AI?
Ooh.
And then if you can teach the reach model, that's a communication model that we use.
Yeah.
So build rapport, explore the idea. Do the
action.
What's the action step you're going to have?
great coach over here.
And then H is like, yeah, honor. You've got it. Like,
yeah.
Bit of a pat on the back sort of thing. Yeah,
100% confident.
Yeah. So you could easily teach AI to do that.
Yeah, but agreed. There's just going to be, some people are going to be like, I'm not having a computer. I'm not having Cortana like take me through like a canceling session.
Yeah, she can teach me Halo, but she can't teach me.
Yeah, that's
training.
It.
Yeah, yeah. But I think it's interesting, and I think we need to keep our finger on the pulse. But it's also agreed. I find it challenging to. It's almost overwhelming, where it's like, do you need to be on the front edge of it to catch it?
If you look at every other...
So, like, we talk about Instagram, right? We're like, fuck, post just fucking pictures of my food? Fuck off.
Instagram's just pictures.
Yeah, and now it's like, why can't we get any more reach? It's like, because you're fucking 15 years too late. Because
it has a billion counts or whatever.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's... Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
It's like, I've got to be on the forefront of it, but then it's overwhelming and I've got to learn all this stuff all the time. And then it's like, it doesn't... right now make that much of a difference to my business, but it will.
Yeah. I think the first initial phase of AI is optimizing what we currently do.
Yeah.
I don't think you will have to heavily lean on it to do your thing.
Yeah.
So it'll just help you optimize what you're currently doing.
Yeah.
So as long as you go with, like if you're going a step ahead of that and expecting it to just do everything for you at the same quality and tone and theme and whatever.
Yeah.
That's where I think there's probably a problem.
Mm.
But if it's just there to kind of help you prompt and streamline things, like you're probably moving with like the usable portion of the usable community of the AI.
Yeah.
And then everybody else beyond that is like really trying to make breakthroughs.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like what's his name? The dude, the ChatGPT dude? Like they reckon that there's some conspiracies that, you know, when he wanted to quit and then they hired him back, it was because he was like withholding information on the fact that it's like able to make decisions for itself and shit.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, but then other people were like, nah, it's not. And it's like, well, why did he quit? And then they rehired him. It's not just because all the staff were like, we love him.
Yeah.
So anyway, yeah, there's...
Yeah, the political and...
Those people are making... making shit. They're playing with stuff that...
God.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we're just like, oh, how can I help this write my emails for the week? Like,
yeah.
You know.
Hmm.
So as long as we're using it in that idea, and even from a scaling perspective, like I think now that AI exists, coaches and business owners are trying to make so many things automated to the point where they don't have to do anything.
Yeah,
and I think that
misses the point.
Well, yeah, and at the moment, your personality and your culture and your message as a business kind of needs to come out in majority of the things that you do.
Yeah.
And I think that regardless of whether you look at something and it looks scalable because it is so automated, it doesn't matter if nobody wants it.
If no one's buying it.
Yeah. If it doesn't feel like one of my clients was like, I said, oh, have you had a nutrition coach before? I can't remember who it was. I had this conversation over the last week. I was a new client I onboarded. And they said they had a nutrition coach and, you know, they were working with them and et cetera. And then this coach made an app and then they made some form of algorithm.
Yeah.
And then they said it just lost the personality approach to it. And they said service was the same and I was getting, you know, what was available to me was probably better in terms of information. But they said it just didn't feel like it was for me.
Yeah.
And they said, so then I just didn't get the results I wanted. And
yeah.
kind of, you know, that's why I'm here. I'm looking for something different.
Yeah. Well, like Lane had his macro one that adjusted, which I use for a bit. RP's got one. Mm. Juggernaut's got their AI programming. Yeah. Like it hasn't replaced coaching yet.
Yeah. It works until it doesn't. But there's always flaws in.
Yeah. But and it's just like, like we have a low cost entry that doesn't have personal connection. And like I use that because I don't need a coach right now.
Yeah.
So yeah, I get it. We get both sides.
Absolutely.
It's just, yeah. Is there a crossover point where it feels so personal that paying for a person when you can sell our AI for $20 a week because it takes no time versus your own time, you're going to charge it exponentially more. Mm. Is there a point where it's like, yeah, well, it's a big extra cost.
Yeah, I know what you mean. I wouldn't be looking for that if I was starting up a business, though. Or if I was in my really... Like, if you don't have a flagship offering on lock and it's, like, desirable, so you're contemplating, like, you know, capping your numbers and increasing your prices and all of that stuff. Like, if you don't have that flagship offering rock solid, there's no point looking at all of these automations to remove yourself and your personality out of it.
Agreed, yeah.
Yeah.
I think that's something that I'm, like... seeing a lot at the moment, talking to a lot of people about is the solution to not having... So, we talk about the tiers and now we're going to get into the actual scaling part of the episode. Before you scale, you obviously need to have your primary service sold out.
That would make sense.
Or be able to fill it on demand. So, I'm seeing a lot of people at the moment that when they get into struggle or they're not busy, they're like... I'll introduce programs, I'll do group, I'll do this. And it's like, okay, so what you're doing is saying, I'm not valuable enough and the service I am offering isn't, people aren't willing to pay for it. So I'm going to devalue it and try and get more people.
Yeah, join the race to the bottom.
Yeah. And it's like the reason you don't have clients isn't price.
Yeah.
Because I guarantee you there's people out there charging more than you.
Yeah.
And most people-
And you're probably better than- some of those people as well.
Yeah, so, it's not unless
skills thing either.
And then you ask and it's like, okay, so what's your close ratio?
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, I haven't had a consult for a month. So it's like, okay, well, it's got nothing to do with the price you're selling it.
Yeah.
It's the position of the product, the communication of the message.
Yeah.
Who's coming? Yeah. Just like no one's coming.
You're bringing people in.
Yeah, so it's
messaging.
Correct.
Yeah.
So having bad messaging on your core product that you make more money on per person, the solution to that is not reducing the amount of money you make per person.
Absolutely.
It's going to make it worse.
Agreed. And it's going to spread you so thin that everything's going to be so poor.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. Where you really probably just need to hunker down into the thing.
Yeah. Well, at that given time, like if your flagship offering is locked in.
Yeah.
Like, well, Annie and I had a conversation on Monday. I'm like, we're about to hit
capacity.
We're about to hit your target. So what is next?
Yeah.
And she was like, fuck. I was like, what are you so nervous about? I thought you'd be excited. She goes, no, but now I don't know what to do.
Yeah.
And I was like, it's fine.
What a good problem to have.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then we had a bit more of a discussion and there's goals that we want to drop the last day of the work that she has. And then that's going to free up a little bit of time to do maybe potentially a bit more. And then I was like, well, we don't want to just think about it like having one-to-one clients.
Yeah.
I said, now we want to have a think about this a little bit longer. It's like, what's life like? What are we trying to do? Who are we trying to help? And she was like, oh, I really would like this. And I said, well, cool, let's make a product before that's like what you would want people to work with you to have.
Yeah.
And I said, and if you're busy, you send people to that.
Yeah.
And then I said, what we need to do is have a graduation product on the other side so that you have the ability to free up spots when people come through. You can go, hey,
we're done with this.
We don't really need this anymore. So, let's solve the problems that you have when you've worked with me for a period of time with this product. Freeze up a spot. Someone comes to inquire, you put them in.
Yeah.
If you don't have those people to go on that side, you're not quite for that. Let's do the introductory service first. And then when a spot frees up, I'll bring you on.
Yeah.
And then she was just like, wow. Yeah. Like, because it alleviates that. It's scalable, obviously, because you can have more volume. And they're not time intensive, but it also, one thing that scaling does is alleviates that pressure of like, my job is not stable.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause that's one of the fears that you see a lot when you speak to coaches. They're like, I know these 30 clients aren't going to be there forever.
Yeah.
And I'm like, well, that's when you, as soon as you have that realization, because you've got them.
Yeah.
So you don't realize they're not until you have them, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And that's when, that's a great sign where you're like, okay, cool. So let's make things scalable so that if you do have a few people drop off, like there's more kind of fun, like, you know, cash flow coming from elsewhere.
Yeah.
You
know? Yeah. So that's probably scaling part one, right? It's like you've sold out. Like you're not a sellout. You're not selling Herbalife. You've sold out your primary option.
Yeah.
You're at capacity. Now what do I do?
I think even, sorry to hijack that, but even for some people, like scaling can be as simple as the 30 one-on-one clients you have, or let's say 20.
Yeah.
They all have the same thing.
Yeah.
And it's done the same way.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
it's repeatable. So it's time efficient.
Yeah, so you can have more of them.
Because that's it. Like, we use Annie because she's in the forefront of my mind. The first 11 clients she had were like the hardest.
Yeah.
Because it was all different, time consuming, and yeah, inconsistent and whatever. So even your first step of scaling is going, well, how can the current clientele that I have, how can they all experience the same service in the same way? Obviously, they've got different goals. But how can their steps from inquiry to onboarding to serving and reviewing and getting results, how can that all be the same?
Yeah.
And then how can I do that so then when everyone else comes on board and you fill that flagship offering that we were talking about, how can we make that as consistent? And then we're next. Then
so it's like stage one is efficiency.
Absolutely.
Making sure that you're providing the highest level of service possible with the shortest, least amount of input for yourself.
Yeah, unnecessary input.
Because step number one is if you do that, you can then probably add more people.
Yeah. Well, that's why cheeky little, not sell, but gas up for the mentorship. But when you're a first-year coach or in your first years, you struggle because there's so much stuff.
Yeah.
So we're like, we'll take care of the nuts and bolts that you don't need to take care of, and you just focus on being a good coach and getting clients.
Yeah, I had a call this week with a trainer that came to the Standout Intensive. So kind of got a lot of the stuff that 99% of personal trainers don't have when they start. She's gone from 0 to 38 sessions. 50-50, 30-minute and 45 minutes in 7 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah. And I was like, you must be just exploding.
Amazing.
In your head.
But yeah.
Like, awesome, replace the corporate job income on top of it, given notice, that trying to, she's like trying to do the fucking handover, like, let me out of here, I'm too busy.
That's fucking amazing.
She's coming to do Standout, and I was like, oh, you can just tell your clients to move. And she's like, what?
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, you just tell them what time they'll do. They'll move. They want to train with you. She's like, can you do that? I'm like, fuck, man.
Yeah.
You're 38 client sessions already.
That's a long day.
Just like what you don't have.
Yeah.
And she's amazing. Like, comes from a corporate background, engineering, like has the brain for it. But like, and there's still going to be energy leaks throughout that.
There's still going to be a lot of scale, like that, like, consistency, to be
absolute
had.
Blessing and curse at the same time, because it's like you've just been dumped with most personal trainers' full workload. And we still have people now that are like, oh, I'm so busy at 30 sessions. She's gone nothing to 38.
That's amazing.
In 7 weeks.
Fuck, that's got to be, that's up there in terms of like most of.
Yeah, I think we had a 45 in 12.
Yeah.
So I reckon he would have been pretty close.
Yeah.
Because obviously you would have had a slowdown with time.
Yeah, because as you get full, like you can't bring
do
more
as many
people
consults
in.
And shit. Yeah. So yeah, I reckon it would have been pretty close to on par.
It's amazing.
I remember we had a couple of boys like competing.
Yeah.
To get that number. But yeah, wild. So yeah, that's the efficiency stuff, right? It's like her onboarding is gonna be different. Even like the first thing we did in the conversation was just like, you have too many offers. Stop selling 45, stop selling hours.
Yeah, just
commit to your time. Commit to your price.
Yep.
And she had an option to do online check-ins or not.
Yep.
Along with your PT. And I was like, that's your price and it includes it, and you do it in the session and they either fill it out or they don't.
Yeah, and you just charge more.
And you charge what you would have charged for that. And she was like, oh, okay. So it was like, or even that just went whoop.
Yeah.
Aligned everything. It's like, well, now you can take another
if you're not doing the online check-in part, you're doing it face-to-face, yeah, you've now just given yourself streamline 5 hours a lot of shit. Yeah. 3 hours a week.
Absolutely.
Which is, at 30 minutes, another 6 sessions.
Yep.
Or time to fucking sleep.
Well, yeah.
Or
yeah,
train, yeah, or make food. Like, she wants, yeah, to compete.
Look after yourself.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Like, competing is a big goal for her next year. So, it's like, yeah, you need to have...
Or everything in a row.
This working really well. Mm. So, that's stage one. So, if you have lots of energy loss in your business, fix it.
Agreed.
So, then you've got a few directions to go. So, we already talked about, like, having lower cost, lower tier, for a different term, options within your business. So, we have an app that's a lower cost option that if we're ever full, it's like, hey, go here.
Yep.
some people, so Jess really successfully ran her, she called it preseason. It was like an 8-week, for lack of a better term, challenge, but it wasn't a challenge.
Yeah.
Program where came in, everyone did the same program, everyone attended like the same kind of check-in sort of deal, a little bit of education, seminar, testing day at the start, testing day at the end, and used that to kind of add income with low kind of input for that for herself. Then you've got, they're probably the most popular lower tier. Mm. In the gym, you can go, like you could call scaling in the gym, like going to small group training, 4-on-1, 2-on-1, starting to group people together, increase, yeah, your hourly that way. Do the same amount of hours, but service more people, higher dollar per minute kind, yeah, of situation. Anything else that I missed in those ones?
That's pretty rock solid.
Yeah. I think for when you want to go down, like down a tier and sell a cheaper product, it's just going to be reliant on how much interest you can generate.
Yeah.
In terms of like, you need high flow of leads, good messaging, good whatever, to attract those people.
Yeah.
And something to consider that we've experienced, not, I wouldn't say it's a mistake because we still get enough out of it for what we wanted. Branding ourselves as results-based, client-based.
Our whole methodology
was based
leans
around
away
coaching.
From, leans away from.
And it's like we introduce, yeah, an app that's like not that.
Yeah. And then, so, yeah. And before people sit there and say, I fucking told you so. Because there'll be people like,
yeah, yeah, yeah,
who say that because they don't subscribe to the app thing.
Yeah.
Like we know that,
yeah,
but we still know that there's people that can't take advantage of our amazing skill set and flagship service,
yeah,
but can still take advantage of a really well thought out, you know, goal specific program,
yeah,
and all of the resources that we provide inside the training app for everyone.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like it's like the next best thing.
Yeah. And we've got a lot of long-term followers,
yeah,
that wouldn't hire us because they just enjoy the content and stuff and they like it, but they're not that invested to hand over that dollar figure, yeah, for the coaching. Yeah. And they're going to be in a position where they're probably not going to be adherent, that kind of stuff. So like the app's perfect for them.
Absolutely.
And that's me at the moment. I'm using it.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's,
yeah,
so the best thing about building is me. I get to use it. That's all that matters. So that's going to be based on your ability to communicate. And then, yeah, the challenge sometimes is what's your message been? And will the message still work with that cheaper option? Which I think is why Jess has did so well. Because it was community-driven, it was strength-driven, it was like women coming together, empowerment, that kind of thing. And it landed really, really well with her audience and went great.
Yeah, it's definitely a demographic kind of ideal client, knowing your ideal client and knowing the demographic you work with.
Yeah.
Because if your message is just like you land on my Instagram.
Yeah.
And I'm like, you know, showing people like results that I've gotten from like, you know, articulating certain body positionings to like maximize stimulation of certain muscles and shit. Like, I can't sit there and be like, now
download my coaching app.
go and get one of those 20 programs that I've written for a random person when I'm leaning that hard into that message.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and similar for me, I would say I've been thinking about what my point of difference is. It's probably just relationships. I think my programming is amazing and that's why I'm presenting it on the weekend. But like that relationship element is a big strength of mine that other coaches don't have. So it's like, well, that again, can't sell that in your $15 a week app.
You know, based on the feedback that I got from another client I got on board during the week.
Yeah.
just replying back to your clients in a timely fashion sets you apart from
that's pretty wild.
90% of most coaches out there.
Yeah.
Isn't that insane?
It is.
Yeah. There you go.
Shout out to my clients that are currently being patient if I do.
So you don't have to write a good don't have to write a good program.
Just reply.
Just have to get back to people.
Fucking wild, hey. Okay, so then there's also what we did, which was education initially. So we went into groups. So we did group face to face with the muscle camp and the fat loss camp.
Fat camp.
Fat loss camp.
Fat camp.
which was kind of us dipping our toes into education.
Yeah.
And some group and some community. Yeah. It was really fun.
Do you reckon, is there an ideal scaling pathway?
No.
Yeah, because go back, like, you and I are probably the first people to do the, like, the group thing at our gym.
Yeah.
Successfully.
Yeah.
Or outside of, like, what's the high five dude who did the CrossFit?
Twist.
Yeah. So he did it too.
Yeah.
And if he doesn't watch that. So before that, though, everyone else was like, you got to get trainers.
Yeah.
Like, that was the scaling part.
Yeah.
Was like, you got busy.
Yeah.
And then you showed other
people how to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So do you reckon, is like, if you're, you filled your flagship offering, you know, your one-on-one, do you like make a couple of different offerings, like, you know, semi-private, program only, online coaching? Like, do you do that first? Or if you're like, say, we don't name names, but the new coach that just put the 38 sessions, say she sustains that for 6 to 12 months.
Yeah.
And then goes like, the only way for me to keep going with this is to bring someone else on, because I just keep having people come to me.
Yeah.
Is it better for that person to like have other products that are like less touch free, or, you know, is it based on like the client, you think, like, or do these clients want face to face? Like,
yeah, I think. Quick episode break. You guys know, if you've seen anything that I create on my stories, my design skills suck. My socials still look good because we went and got help. Now you can too. STC's new web service can take your business branding and design to the next level. Ash and the team didn't just create templates for us. They dove into who we were, what we cared about, and what our message is, and helped us to design an overall brand that represents what we care about. We use their social pack every single day. They built our website, and they even helped us build out our app. All those services are now available to you. You just have to go to stcfit.com, navigate to web services, find out what it's all about, and book a free discovery call to see what is right for you.
There's so many different ways to bring someone on.
Yeah.
Which just makes it hard to answer that question, right?
Yeah.
So if I'm looking at it, the ideal scenario, in my opinion, and this is biased through the way that we brought people on, it was all education focused and supplying a system. So we needed to do a lot of shit to make that system really good. And it took us a long time to probably get it to the point where we could give it to someone else.
Yeah.
So I think maximizing what you can do on your own first is probably a good idea.
Yeah.
And then I would also put in there, there's not as much money in putting on trainers as you think. By the time you pay GST, you pay your overheads, you pay your whatever. What were we paying for fucking, what app was it we were paying, like fucking $25 US per trainer or something at one stage?
Oh, no, we had everyone on the fucking, was it the Loom account? And I just kept adding on and forgot or didn't read the fine print, obviously.
Yeah, it cost us fucking $250 a month or something.
We had like $1,000 bill.
Yeah, it's wild.
Quarterly or something.
Shit. Yeah, so all of those overheads kind of go up as well, and then like, they're relying on you for some kind of marketing, so those expenses go up and all of that. So the profit margins probably aren't what people think they are from the outside looking in.
Yeah.
They're good, and you can, if you systemize it well.
Yeah, you just got to.
It's a very, very good model, very useful. We did seven figures. Like, it's a real thing. But for Ash, for example, who's just smashed it, maybe it's better to explore what else she can do within her business.
Yeah.
First.
Yeah. Yeah, I know there's no real right or wrong way to ask, to just there's going to be multiple people thinking multiple different ways.
Yeah, it's really context dependent as well. So part of this episode is obviously we're going to tell you guys that we have a licensee program where we provide a training framework for you to add coaches. Mm. So part of us are like, yeah, let's sell everybody to add coaches to your business because we literally have the education platform that you can lease from us and do it. But I do think there's a lot of dependencies leading up to that.
Yeah.
One of them being part of that efficiency thing, and we talk about this in Standout a lot, and kind of the whole purpose of Standout. Would your business run without you?
Yeah.
So you can someone come in and do your job.
Yeah, yeah.
Outside of personal relationships, can someone come in and do your job tomorrow?
Mm.
This is how I get a client. This is how I do the phone call, the consult, the presentation, the onboarding, the DDR, the first program, the first check-in, all the resources, the responding to check-ins, all of that, programming, nutrition.
Yeah, making decisions.
It's the same experience across the board.
Mm.
And do all your clients have that, for one?
Yep.
And then B, can someone else come in and do it? If you have that, then bringing on other trainers is an option. Now, there's a couple of ways that you can do that. So, we always went education route. So, come out of your certificate, come work for us, with us, and we will teach you how to run your business and how to do all of those things that we just spoke about.
Yeah.
Sales, hard skills, soft skills, everything you need to be a good personal trainer and run a high session business, we'll teach you how to do it. And because you'll do so many extra sessions, there's value. You'll end up making the same, if not more money working with us than you would by yourself because it'll be so much more efficient and you really just have to show up and train people and make the sales.
Mm.
You have to do all this back-end development and pay for education and do all this stuff because it's all here for you.
Yeah.
You just plug in and then it's go. So net, you're going to end up in the same position and that's why it's a mutually beneficial arrangement. Mm. So I think what a lot of PTs think is just like, I'm busy.
Yeah,
so I'll bring on a coach. It's like, what's the benefit for them? Why are they going to give you a cut of their work?
What's going to make them stay as well?
Yeah. And it's like, well, one of those is create an environment where they can make the same, if not more money in less time, in the same or less time.
Yep.
So, yeah. So that we've got the option of doing the groups, going into the small group training, increasing your dollar per minute, doing all that first. Is the business systemized? Yes, it is. Are you passionate to then bring new people up and mentor and be a part of that environment as well? Because it adds a whole different emotional load to what you do. But it's incredibly rewarding.
Yeah, for the right person.
When they're successful.
Yeah. Even for the right person. Because if you're not motivated to help people and you're just motivated by making money and you want to duplicate yourself,
yeah,
those hard conversations, the person doesn't get it right the first time. Like, you know, all of that stuff is, you can tell the ones that aren't motivated, and you even see it with personal training in general. Like, you can tell the ones that aren't in it because they like to help people.
Yeah.
Because they're either not in it now.
Yeah.
You know, after a little while, you can just tell like the way they coach people is.
Yeah, it's about them.
Well, the way they train people, sorry, not coach them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So we've got a really good success story of that. The 1RM guys in Penrith. I think a good team of four now.
Mm. Four. Yeah.
And it was literally that. It was just like, got to capacity. Group wasn't for him. Not a pursuit that he wanted to take, but worked really hard on creating systems and had proven it over and over and over again in the gym. Was like, cool, you can come and use my systems and I'll teach and support and mentor you and you will also do what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And it's, I think every trainer that's been through there has been super successful. So he's doing a great job with it. And that's a good one.
Absolutely.
Model. The other option is I've seen work, even when I think two of us sort of started in the Good Life model at the same time, bringing on coaches. The other one was basically the owner became the salesperson.
Mm.
And then everyone else did all the sessions. Which for me, I'm like, it's like I came from membership sales into personal training because I wanted to work with the person.
Yeah.
And like seeing them, oh, man, sign them up and moving them on.
Sign up
like,
a few clients for us, please.
Fuck.
Again. Yeah, it sucked. So that's a fine model if that's what you're good at, and probably more if you're financially driven.
Yeah. I'm pretty sure they managed to replace themselves as the salesperson at some point, though.
Yeah.
Which would have been
the goal, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So I think in that scenario, too, it meant because they had the control over who was coming in, they could pay their rent and do all that sort of stuff as well. Mm. So that's something people always ask us, like, oh, what should we pay people? Like, what percentage should I take? What cut? How do I do it? Whatever. It's so dependent on what offer, what
how you're it's structured.
In our experience, we would have seen, I've done the math before, I can't remember what the stats were. Something like 30% of people that come through don't last the 12 weeks. Something like that.
Yeah.
And it's
is
not,
that a client or?
No, as a trainer.
Oh, okay, yeah.
So it's like if...
30%?
Yeah.
It's a loose figure.
It was something... No, with us.
Oh, sorry. I thought you meant in general.
So the Good Life number was like 80.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Sorry, I thought you were talking industry numbers. I was like, that's fucking super generous.
Yeah, because I remember trying to get some stuff out of... Good Life and being like, hey,
yeah,
hey, we're good. It didn't really eventuate. But the theory being that, A, the person that comes to that model is probably more driven, but having that level of support gives you a much higher chance of success and lasting in the business.
Of course.
Our trainer lifespan was like it was like 8 times industry average and stuff like that. So you can create this environment where you're going to have people last a lot longer. The lesson, though, can you afford 30% of your hiring or the people you bring on, unless you're super selective, to not make rent and then you cover it?
Yeah.
Because that's what a lot of people are like, oh, I'll pay their rent. Like, okay. Mm. So when they don't make the phone calls, when they miss the sales, when they cancel on their clients, when they don't show up, when they don't reply, when their programs are 4 weeks late, like when they're not doing the thing and they're not busy, then what?
And you're potentially losing business on the other side because the
reputation
ones doing,
damage and
so it's a big
risk.
Absolutely.
So everyone that I've seen do that model did the sales because then they at least have some kind of control of making sure there's enough to pay the bills. So that would be my advice within that.
Agreed.
We've always done pay your own rent. And we pay higher because of that.
Well, yeah, that's it. Structured differently because of that.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's a thought process for that. What other scaling options have you seen? Obviously, opening a gym is another one.
Yeah, opening a gym.
Or a studio.
Yeah, even multiple coaches across multiple sites.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it doesn't have to just be in your own gym.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. Which is essentially, we had, I think at peak, we had 17 coaches in seven gyms, six gyms.
Yeah, something like that, yeah. Yeah, so it doesn't always have to be in the location that you're busy in.
Correct.
Can be a good place to start. We did Ground Zero. Ground Zero was always Good Life Point Cook.
Yeah.
We had most coaches there.
Yeah.
But then, branching out across multiple suburbs and stuff is great.
Yeah.
I think outside of that, like, they're pretty much covering, like, you talked about online coaching and stuff already, right?
Yeah, I guess, like, scaling can be going online.
Absolutely.
That's a part of it if you choose that.
Yeah.
Better time return. Definitely.
Yeah, some, like, the hybrid model is probably the best in my opinion.
Yeah.
Like, a book of face-to-face clients is great. How many sessions did you say to be an elite online coach? 1,000 PT sessions you need?
I wouldn't say elite, I think to start.
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Getting skin in the game is definitely required in our opinion to be an online coach.
Yeah.
But then going to some form of online coaching is definitely a scalable thing and way more scalable than
agreed.
Face to face. Providing you do the right things though. Because you can't just instantly walk in the gym and you can't instantly walk onto the internet and go, hey, do you want to do a session and go over someone's problems and solutions to those problems and sign them up for coaching.
Yeah. So 1,000 sessions is 20 sessions a week for you.
Oh, yeah, that's fucking entry level for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
But online coaching is definitely scalable. The problem lies in the urgency to move online. I think a lot of, Yeah, I think a lot of coaches will get found out real quick.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, we're talking about some, again, another, during one of the audit chats during the week, just like seeing the wave through lockdown of the online coaches, and then they're all either left the industry or back face-to-face now.
Yeah, or they just put it in their bio about having no clients.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, and it's like, oh, I missed working with people. Like, I bet you did with 10 clients. Like, yeah. I missed making money. I missed getting paid.
Yeah.
A little bit of shot there. But yeah, it's definitely, yeah, definitely going online. So yeah.
The appeal of it is huge though, right? Because it is the most scalable kind of service in the fitness industry. It is hands down the most scalable because you can take the most amount of people. Like perfect world.
Yeah. Yeah.
So,
yeah, because you can still duplicate yourself as an online coach.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's like, it looks the most desirable.
Yeah.
So it's like people go there first when it's the hardest thing to get going.
Yeah.
And realistically, a good online coach has years of making sure their flagship offering, which was face-to-face, was full, but not only full, consistent.
Good. Yeah.
You know, high quality, effective. All right. It's got to get results.
Yeah.
And then you're taking all of those conversations and, you know, methods and all of those things and then going online beta testing it first.
Yeah.
To see if you can get results. Because like your 5 to 10 online clients and my first 5 to 10 online clients, we didn't know if it was going to work.
Yeah.
Like we knew that if they followed it, but like
how
it was going to run and how many times did we change it and refine
so
it.
Shit. I used to send a copy and paste message for people to reply for their check-in every week in Messenger.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Wild.
Yeah, so they're looking, so everyone looks at the fact that like, oh, I can have 50 clients paying X amount a week.
Yeah.
And I have to give up 20 to 30 minutes per client on average over a month.
Yeah.
Let's just say per week over
per
a
week,
month.
Yeah.
This sounds amazing.
Yeah.
So that's why I get the desire is there, but it shouldn't be the first place to go. That's why probably you didn't even talk about it until I brought it up.
Yeah.
Because I don't think it's that valuable for someone in their first year, 2 years, maybe even three for some people.
Yeah. I went online full time because 30% of my client book I'd brought in online.
Mm.
Like they come from my social media to me in the gym and they were traveling and weren't even members.
Yeah.
And I was like, well, I may as well just do that.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? So it's like, I think people they hear what you just said and they miss the costs.
Yeah.
I was like, what's the cost? It's either time or paid marketing.
Yeah.
And your $300 a week rent is probably what you're going to need to put out for paid marketing.
And get very little return to start.
And still have good organic, good systems, good everything.
Mm.
That whole back end is still going to be very time consuming.
Yeah.
So your hours worked, they're still going to drop, and once it's systemized and going really well, it's definitely a more efficient model. We wouldn't be able to do what we do if all of our clients were face-to-face.
Yeah.
So it definitely is more efficient once you get it going.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And like everyone has the right to do it at some point.
Yeah.
But just picking the right time is the pivotal part.
Yeah. I remember sitting down and going, all right, I need to put on, I think it was a client a fortnight when I left.
Mm.
I need to put on a client a fortnight for the next 12 weeks and then I'll recoup any income that I've lost from leaving.
Mm.
And if I can keep that consistent, then I'm good. Yeah. To do that, I need to post 4 times a week and I need to send 40 DMs.
Mm.
It's that part that the people aren't willing to do because they've been in the gym and people know who they are and people approach them or they get gym leads or they get referrals or whatever. And then you go online and it's like, oh, I don't really want to post this week. It's like, oh, don't have any business.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, yeah, and there's no backup plan of when it hits the fan to just be like, I'll just make calls. Because there's no leads just sitting there in the bank.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's really important, I think.
Yeah.
Gym.
Yep.
Everyone, I don't know what it's like these days, but back in the day, that was like the ultimate was like...
owning the gym.
I'm going to work a good life for 3 years and then I'm going to open my own facility.
Still trying to.
Kind of
pulling me away from it.
Kind of opening one.
Yeah, well, we are. It's just...
It's not
like
I say,
every time we go to start, like the idea, something pulls us away from it.
Yeah.
But that's fine.
So, startup, 100
minimum.
Yeah. Yep.
Yep. So 3 months got, bills covered, wages. Well,
you've got 3 months bond.
Yeah. 3 months bond.
3 months rent.
Yeah.
Equipment.
Yeah.
You probably want a couple of months of expenses in the bank.
Yeah.
To cover.
Yeah.
You might get 3 months up front free on the facility, maybe.
Yeah. Need like float as well.
Yeah, so then you want that couple of months of expenses as a float. Then you got equipment.
Yeah.
It's funny, like doing the... I remember Max and Carl saying they forgot about flooring. And like, because the gym we're working on at the moment already has flooring. Yeah. I did it the intro of someone else. I was like, oh, it's only this much. So I was like, wait.
Nah.
Flooring. Wait, there's 12 grand of flooring in there.
Absolutely.
That you need to
Yeah, probably
consider.
Need it. Yeah, yeah. And depending on how handy you are, you know, I need to get someone to lay it too.
Yeah.
You probably wanted someone to lay it. Yeah.
So that's a big one.
Yeah.
So
startup costs, like getting the place ready.
Yeah. 100,
150.
Decode. Are you going to clean the toilets every day?
Yeah.
Are you going to vacuum it, wipe down equipment, do all that stuff? Are you going to be front of house? Are you doing sales? If not, who's doing it?
It's marketing and sales and all that stuff on top of that.
Yeah. Our launch budget for one of the gyms we're working with is 10 grand.
Yeah.
Just for launch budget.
Mm.
And then that's an ongoing cost pretty much.
Yeah. Yeah. Paying staff at the start, like paying yourself.
Yeah.
Like all of that. It's like, it's a lot to it. And like, don't want to put anyone off, but it's just the realization
15
of.
15 grand a year sounds pretty good after that, hey?
Well, absolutely.
Yeah.
And 4,000 people or 2,000 people to just walk in. And when something breaks, it's like, that's broken.
Yeah.
Fix it. I have to call up whoever it was that has the warranty for it, pick a day for them to come. It might be in 2 weeks.
Yeah.
It's out of order. All the members are pissed.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a lot of little itty gritty things that you don't think about and you just get annoyed at the big box gym because you don't get any leads.
Yeah.
But you don't get any leads with your own 100 grand outlet without chasing them as well.
Correct.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, but it's definitely an option.
Absolutely.
We know a lot of people that are doing it really successfully.
Mm.
We are. So.
It's most certainly an option.
Yeah. And I think, at least for us, the goal with all the gyms that we're getting involved with now is beyond the gym. It's scaling beyond scaling. So it's like, cool, we're going to have most of them are semi-private, small groupy time setups, but they'll also have one-on-one.
Yeah.
They'll also have multiple coaches. They'll also have online. They'll also have potentially education.
Yeah.
Like there's this whole ecosystem that you're trying to create, not just like a place where I don't have to pay my $300 a week rent.
Yeah.
Which is usually when you see people do that, where the headaches come.
Yeah, because they don't have the understanding of all the other moving parts and they're only removing themselves from the gym for one really small, insignificant thing when you actually look at on the other side what it actually takes to run a business and keep it going.
Yeah, the big price to freedom.
Yeah, it's not $350 a week or whatever it is.
Yeah.
It's a lot more than that. A lot more risk involved too, you know, which people don't understand. You've got a commitment to the landlord, and
staff,
commitment to people who work there, even people that go there sometimes, like there's a commitment to them as well sometimes, depending on how seriously you take it.
So recap the whole episode. If you want to scale your business, step one, maximize every efficiency you can with your primary offer. Make sure it's running as smoothly as it possibly can. Your retention's amazing. You're at the top price point you could be at. You're doing everything right. Then we would probably say consider other options. Do you want to go into small group? Do you want to go into, and we'll be straight up, I did small group stuff. Jace never did because it was just not something you wanted to do, which is totally fine. But you did group stuff specific to, but
group,
you didn't change
group stuff
whole
the way I
model.
Wanted to do group
Correct.
Stuff, which was periodically, but still getting jacked and shredded.
With an education bias and a high quality bias around that. So that's an option always within the business. Then you can start looking at, okay, do I have an entry level product that I can push people towards? If I am sold out, I can just be like, hey, you do this instead. Next, you can start thinking, well, moving online is one option. staying face to face and adding trainers is an option.
Yeah.
What does adding a trainer look like? What's the value that you're going to provide? The value needs to be an incredibly efficient system that you can teach someone else. Then if you want to go open a facility,
yeah, you're in a position to do so.
You can. Yeah. You would have to maximize that efficiency in your dollar per minute to put yourself in a position to then go open a facility. And all the people we're having conversations with did that.
Yep.
Dominated in their local, and then we're like, okay, now let's take this to another level and go to the facility, not just like, hey, I got 40 sessions. Let's go open a gym. Yeah. Which sounds really nice.
Absolutely.
Awesome. So, like I said in there a little bit, shameless plug for us, we do offer... we call it our licensee education program. So if you wanted to add trainers to your business, we come in and help with all of the training for them. So sales, onboarding, navigating a couple of the apps, all that kind of stuff. And even just like what you would need to produce for the stuff you need to. Most of it's done, but building an actual pathway. Because when we first started, it was like reactionary.
Yeah.
We had the first 12 weeks of education laid out, and then it was just like, oh, let's teach them this, let's teach them this, let's teach them this. And it ultimately was the demise of the product we had at the time because it was just fucking exhausting.
Yeah.
And we couldn't hold it up. So we built a program designed to deliver, and you can lease that from us and work with us in coaching and all that kind of stuff to deliver it and build your team. So check that out. Just DM us if you are interested. It's not on the website. It's on the secret menu.
That's it.
That one. I think that's it.
Yeah.
Don't forget, go to stcfit.com for Value Compass free resource, anything you want to know about Standout PT, which is our primary product, which we focused on and did really well with before we added all the other stuff, like web design, like social media, like business coaching, etc. Hope you enjoyed the episode. Don't forget, hit subscribe. We need 7 subscribers, guys. 7. Yeah,
let's do it.
We need 7 to get to 1,000.
Hit that button.
Please, if you're still listening, hit the button. Thank you. Goodbye.